Welcome to this short introduction to IT Lifecycle, brought to you by Nestori Synima. A couple of words about me. So I work currently as a CIO, that's for Chief Information Officer for 8 cities and municipalities surrounding Tampere, Finland, which is my hometown. And we have roughly, together with Tampere, we are sharing our infrastructure, so we have roughly 24,000 users, and we are serving our communities who are providing services, their own services, for 400,000 people. So it's a quite big environment, and IT is quite crucial in that environment to be able to operate it properly. I'm also certified IT trainer for both version 3 and 4. And I'm a part-time lecturer here at University of Jyväskylä every now and then, like now. And I got my PhD from informatics, or to be more specific, from enterprise architecture. And I got my degree from University of Reading. And there's an informatics research center in Henley Business Schools, and that's where I actually graduated. Yes, so let's move forward. I'll just turn my camera on. Hi there, so that you can see me. So let's start by recapping what IT Service Management, or ITSM, means. So basically, it is all the actions or activities which are related to providing ICT services. And these include planning of services, delivering of services, operating the services, and managing services. And these actions or activities are guided by processes which organizations usually have, and of course some support functions also. But this is IT service management. Okay, so how does ITIL relate to IT service management? So let's talk about ITIL. So what is ITIL? It comes from the words Information Technology Infrastructure Library, which is a bit misleading because it has nothing to do with IT as such, and nothing to do with infrastructure at all. But it's more like a library. Yes, that's I agree with that. It is a de facto framework nowadays for implementing ITSM. So ITSM is those activities I talked earlier. And ITIL brings a framework to there, so it's a library, if you will, of best practices for ITSM. And what it has actually inside the ITIL, so there's a vocabulary, so there are definitions of things, and so on. So when we are talking with our suppliers or service providers, we share the same language. When I say SLA, or service level agreement, everybody knows what that means. So that's one thing. But also it has processes and roles defined for various things you need to have in place in order to be able to provide services or manage services. Okay, now a few words about history of ITIL. So it emerged in the 1980s in Great Britain, and the story says that there was a prime minister at that time who was Margaret Thatcher, and they had spent a lot of money on IT, and she didn't feel that they had enough value from IT. So she kind of pushed that, okay, now you really need to define some kind of best practices so that we can get more value of our IT services. Version 2 of ITIL emerged in 2001, or it was published in 2001, and version 2 in 2007. And actually that's when I got my first ITIL certificate, that was in 2007. And then it was updated a little bit, not much, but a little bit, in 2011. And version 4 came out in 2019. And about these versions, that version 3 is currently most widely used. So all the big providers who are providing services, like traditional services, let's say, like service tech services, or they are providing you capacity services, like virtual machines. You want to have a virtual machine, they are provided as a service. So they are using version 3. And the version 4, it have had a lot of critic, but it is kind of a new version, which I'm calling ITIL for DevOps. So ITIL for DevOps. So it has some new things to that, but we will come back to that later. So that about history. So it has been there a long time, since 1980s. So a couple of decades now, so 40 years or something like that. But now let's go to that life cycle thing this session is actually about. So ITIL understands or sees services so that each service has a life cycle. So it is built, it is used, and then it's decommissioned. So that is the whole point with the ITIL. And here we can see 5 different life cycle steps, if you will, which are involved in which are presented in ITIL. And each of these have a book. So there's a book for service strategy, which contains all the processes and roles and definitions related to that, and one for service design, one for service transition, and so on. And currently I'm talking about version 3 things. So these all I'm presenting today are related to version 3, which is still, as I said, the most widely used in the world. Yes, so the idea here is that first you define your strategy. So that's the first step. Then you design the service to implement that strategy you have formed. And when you have designed that, then you implement that what you have designed. And then you operate that service. And the next step here is continuous service improvement. But that is actually a little bit different, because it is dealing with all the others too. So for instance, there are things for service design. So this life cycle states is providing help for service design so that you can improve your service design processes, for instance, and so on, and also to others as well. So this is not a real life cycle for services, but this is state is serving all the others too. But that's the basic idea behind ITIL life cycle. And now let's look at the processes and functions. So, as you can see here, actually is no life cycle for that continual service improvement, because it doesn't have that kind of processes as these other states have. But anyway, everything starts here from the strategy. So here are processes like strategy management for IT services, which is actually taking care of the whole life cycle states here. So it is kind of overwatching all the other processes. And here are things like business relationship management, which means that you need to manage your business relationships. You kind of play golf with the customer so that you can understand what the customer actually needs to provide their own services or to create value using your services you are providing them. Then there's demand management, which is a process where you try to maximize, let's say, the usage of your utilization of your own, let's say, for instance, data centers. So you try to create demand, or if you don't have enough capacity, you try to lower the demand, and that sort of things. And here's also service portfolio management. And by the way, the M refers to word management. So service portfolio management, where you plan what you are going to do, what do you have now, or what you did have. So you kind of, that's also kind of managing the life cycle of the services you are currently providing or you have provided or you will provide. And then there's financial management. So that is the strategic phase. And there you, as I told you earlier, you define what you want to be. So you, for instance, might say that, okay, I want to be the world's largest email service provider. So that is your strategy. Okay, then we have the design phase. And that is also one thing that ITIL is focusing on, is that you plan things very in a very detailed way or in a very thorough way, that you cover all the different components and things that can go wrong or so on. So you plan before you do. So that is one reason why ITIL is sometimes seen as a bureaucratic framework, but anyway, it is good to understand that you really need to cover all the areas when you are planning things. Okay, but here we have a design coordination, for instance. Okay, now I lost my mouse somewhere. There it is. So we have design coordination, which is similar to that strategy management for IT services, in a way that it is overarching or overwatching this whole life cycle here. And the processes we have here is like service level management. There's a capacity management, which tries to make sure that you have enough capacity, whatever you are doing. So it can be like data centers or number of people in your service desk or help desk. There's availability management that tries to make sure that your services are available when they are needed. IT service continuity management, which is about that when things go wrong, how quickly you can get them run again. Information security management, so that's quite self-explanatory. Supplier management, it is like when, if the business relations management was about playing golf with customers, this is playing golf with the suppliers. So that you need to make sure that when you're providing services, you can't do everything by yourself. So you need to buy services from suppliers. And this is the process that is dealing with those, mainly about different kind of agreements and so on with the suppliers. And then there's service catalog management, which is about managing that part of the portfolio, which includes those products services you are currently providing. Okay. So if from strategy, the output was that, okay, this is what we want to be. So out from this is the plans that how you create that service that is enabling your strategy. So for instance, there might be that email service. So you design that email service and then you are ready to go to the next stage, which is transition. And here in transition phase, you implement those plans or designs you did and that on that previous stage. So it might be that you either buy things or you build them. So it can be a combination of both. Okay, anyways, processes we have here are like transition planning and support. So this is also the overlooking process, which is handling the all transition things you do. And one of the most important here is the change management. So that is very crucial, for instance, in our environment, because there are 9 cities and communities and we are serving 400,000 people there who are living on our communities. So when we change something, that really needs to be planned accordingly. And also, when we are doing changes, we don't know how it affects to some, or we don't necessarily know. So that's why we have change management process, which takes care about that. So it makes sure that the changes, what we are doing, it doesn't break anything. And if it does, we can go back. Service validation and testing kind of is related to change management, because here you do the actual validation that is it really in a way that you planned it or designed that. Release and deployment management, it's also about when you, like scheduling, when you are releasing new version, for instance, and when you deploy that. And then we have change evaluation, which is related to change management, that you evaluate things that how it is affecting us or our environment. Service assessment and configuration management is also a very important process. So here we have a catalog of everything we have and how our environment is configured. So here's information about our servers, our applications, our network, who is the owner of that application or server or service or whatever. So that is part of the process. Then we have knowledge management, which is about also information management, quite similar to the service asset and configuration management, but this is not related to those. It's more about more general information knowledge related to service management. For instance, there might be information that how do you implement enterprise service buses in general, and then in service asset and configuration management, there are information about how you implemented it in your own environment. Okay. So, output from this transition phase is a working service that is running, and then it is handed to operation. So I will need to switch off my camera here. And here in operation states, which is usually the longest one, because this is the only phase where users are actually using your services, they are consuming them, and therefore this is the only phase where the service is actually providing value, because this is where it is used or consumed. Now here we have five processes. So we have event management, which is dealing with all the events that are happening in your environment. So there might be input that, okay, now your disk space is getting almost full. And with that event, this process kind of, it decides that, is this important? Do we need to do something about it? Or is it just an information? Or is it error? Or what is it? And then if that is an error, then the incident management process will deal with that. And incident management process tries to restore the accurate level of that service. So it's kind of fixing issues, bringing it all back to normal states, in the agreed states. Request file availability is about if, let's say, customer wants a new laptop, this is the process how they deliver that laptop. Or if the customer needs to reset password, this is the process dealing with that. And then we have access management, which is about providing access to services when they are needed and removing them when they are not needed anymore. And problem management, it is it's kind of related to incident management. So when incident management is about restoring the service as soon as possible, problem management is about fixing the root cause of those incidents. And then we have four functions, like here. So these functions are not processes. Processes are a predefined steps with defined inputs and outputs and roles that who are performing different things inside that process. So processes are more like instructions how to do things. Now these functions are actually usually they are like organization units consisting of people and tools. So for instance, service desk is a group of people and their tools who are providing different kind of services needed, like resetting passwords and so on. So this is more like a group of people who are then performing those processes. So there are IT operations management, application management, and technical management. So these kind of things are performed by functions. Okay, so this was a very short introduction to ITIL lifecycle. Thank you for watching.